Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Now, I'm really excited for our next conversation because if you know anything about me, there are people who are very special to my heart. Sometimes we have them on air. Sometimes we interview them on the sidelines. And sometimes we share the insight that they have shared with me, you, here on air. And tonight we're looking to do exactly that. If you pick up on the conversation we just had a moment ago, which reflected on the important dynamics of youth in South Africa who are looking to partner with their peers globally, it really underscores the conversation we're about to have next. One where we see international partnerships moving forward, specifically by focusing on youth. And most importantly, organizations which might be faith-based, non-profit organizations that also play a role in harnessing a cultural exchange, economic development and partnership and growth, and also personal development for young people. I am so excited to have family members from all the way in Oakland, California, joining us tonight for a critical conversation as we review Youth Day 2025. How is it that many organizations can play a better role in participating in a cultural exchange? For that, we joined by Reverend Theophis Regans. He's the Director of Global Ministries, joining us from Allen Temple Baptist Church in Oakland, California. Also joined by Ms. Joy Harrison Harvey, member and youth leader of Global Ministries at Allen Temple Baptist Church, and Ms. Brennan White, Allen Temple Baptist Church youth member who joins us this evening. I'm so excited to have you all. Say hello to everybody who's listening on the airwaves tonight.
Hello.
Fantastic. Well, this is an intriguing panel discussion because for many of us as South Africans, as we've just reflected, we're well aware of the economic dynamics that we contend with. We're well aware of the political dynamics that the youth of the past has had to contend with. But one thing we're looking to really forge and partner with now is being critical members and participants of the global economy, global cultural exchange, and initiatives to make sure that we all play our role in forging partnerships. And with that, I think for anyone who might be listening, Reverend Theo, this is where we need to add some context around global missions. What is it? How has it been established? I've been a firm participant and observer of it for the last 12, 14 years. But for many others who might not understand, what is this global missions and how does it partner with South African and youth based in the U.S.? Help us understand more.
Sure. Good evening. And Google, thank you for having us on the show. Very, very, very much appreciate it. About 2010, 2011, I had my first visit to South Africa. Reverend Bongani Nyati, who had served in Oakland with me at a church there, at Altus Church, invited me to come to South Africa to visit him, visit with him, to visit his family for a wedding, actually. And when I got here, I quickly fell in love with the country, with the people. I went to several churches. I went to functions. I met a whole bunch of people who embraced me and just reached out and loved on me in a very special way. And I came back within 6 months. I came back because I was invited to come back to help out with some community service projects, one being at W.W. Brown, working with the nursery. I came with the Western Christian theology, though. I came thinking that my objective and my reason for coming was really just to give, to do mission by donating, to bring money, to bring materials, to bring educational materials. But I quickly learned that South Africa had a lot to me and a lot to give me. And so the paradigm of mission quickly shifted to be bilateral. Yeah. And then I was introduced to the youth group at W.W. Brown. And
Which I was a part of the definition of youth today.
it is aging, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we quickly developed a fondness for each other. But one of the things that happened in the course of my engagement with them on that trip was I saw a kind of faith in a young group that I had not experienced before. And it touched me, and it increased my faith. And I thought, if it can have that kind of impact on me, what might happen if I bring a group of youth in that age category to meet with them and engage with them? So I did. I went back to Oakland. I asked Pastor J. Alfred Smith Jr. if I could bring some teen Africa, and he said, sure.
100%.
Let's do it. And I brought them, and the relationships just quickly came together. I think they bonded 13 years ago, and they're still friends.
Yeah.
They're still engaged with one another. And so a new kind of mission was born, where we came to bring ourselves, but we came to receive and learn from the people we were visiting, from our hosts. And I watched as they taught each other.
Yeah.
And lifted each other. And initially, it was just a cultural exchange. And then it developed into community service projects. We sent out requests for proposals, asked the young people to write project proposals. We gave initial seed money to do those proposals. And it just kept developing. You know, it became a program, a cultural exchange program that became a community service program that became, you know, didactic learning that was experiential. It was, it just became a dynamic thing between the two churches. And then we expanded to include additional churches, one in Durban, one in Cape Town.
Yeah.
And it's evolved from there.
I'm so glad that you've painted this picture so beautifully of a journey that I've not only been able to witness, but also be a part of. And I think this is critical, right? Because someone might be sitting here thinking, hold on, this is a business show. How does this actually speak to the importance of socioeconomic development, cultural exchange, and partnership? And I believe what you're highlighting is the importance of non-commercial or corporate institutions in playing a role in bridging that divide, whether it's a faith-based organization or even nonprofits.
Absolutely. Alan Temple believes in a faith-based kind of theology that works with, that develops with, that cultures, that nurtures the entire human being. So that includes education, it includes economics, it includes social, it includes political. It encompasses everything that makes us human and the challenges that we face as human beings. Church work, Christ work, is outside of the walls after Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that means that it should be broad-based and should touch every aspect of our humanity. And these are the issues that we face every day. You know, how am I going to make a living?
Yes.
How am I going to raise my family?
You're so right.
You know, how am I going to find fulfillment in life? How am I going to have a good economic base to have a successful and enjoyable life?
Yeah.
We seek to address those issues when we do ministry at Allen Temple.
100%. I want to speak to one of the youth members, but not just a youth member, youth leader as well of Global Ministries, and that's Harrison Harvey, who joins us as well. You are a phenomenal mind. I just love the way you articulate yourself, and your line of work is directly up, you know, our alley as a business show, given that you work as a financial consultant and essentially help and guide businesses in their journey. Maybe let's just start there, you know, not only the reflections of your career, but some lessons and the impact that you've also picked up in terms of the importance of partnership with faith-based and nonprofit organizations to really improve on what Reverend Theo has referred to. You know, it's one thing to have faith 3 hours a day on a Sunday, but you know, how you get through Monday through the rest of the week.
Absolutely. First and foremost, thank you so much for having us here. I think in all honesty, this comes to a point that I believe in, is that empathy solves all, right? So what we're doing here is faith-based empathy, right? Believing in our faith and helping people on a day-to-day basis. And what businesses are doing is empathy as well, right? A good business is one that's called to solve a problem, right? There's a problem that exists. How do you provide a solution that is not only effective and that supports people, but is sustainable as well? So I think the putting together the empathy, right, that we have in our religious space and the empathy that we walk through the world on a day-to-day basis is something that's really important in terms of doing good business and also feeling that fulfillment when you're outside of the church on Sunday and you get through the week from Monday through Saturday.
100%. I can imagine that as you consult and speak to many entrepreneurs, the truth is an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Regardless of where they are in the world, they have various challenges that they need to overcome in terms of driving sustainability in their organizations. What lessons have you picked up, you know, in consulting with businesses and entrepreneurs that might be relevant to South African youth entrepreneurs who are listening tonight?
Totally. I think the biggest lesson is solve a problem, right? Mm-hmm. I think you can look around and we like to nitpick our lives. We love to nitpick society in our own realms, right? But often we end the job at nitpicking instead of saying, there's a solution here, right? How can I find a way to solve a problem? you know, we are full creative people and we can find creative ways to solve issues, right? And I think that's like the first point that I would say. The second is, you know, build a team, right? If you really are adamant and caring about the problem that you want to solve,
oh yeah,
build a team, right? There might be people that complement you in some of the skill sets that you don't have, right? Build a well-rounded team so you can kind of continue there. And then the last point I would say is consistency, right? In everything, greatness comes with consistency. Mm-hmm. So how can you be consistently, you know, working towards a solution, consistently working on sustainability and improvement?
100%. Something else that I get quite passionate and excited about, you might have heard this being referenced in the previous interview, is skills, right? We all have our phones in studio. Yeah. We connect and keep in touch with the previous youth via Instagram and other social media. And it really does speak to not only digital skills for social purposes, but for entrepreneurial that are linked to a purpose, you know, the role again of NPOs and faith-based organizations. And I mentioned digital skills because I can imagine you also witness the caliber of skills that entrepreneurs have in New York that you can also share with us here.
Absolutely. But in terms of skills to use, I think it's the three C's that I think about, right? Communication, collaboration, and critical thinking, right? So in terms of communication, how are you able to communicate your product? How are you able to communicate what you need, what you want, whether that's from investors, whether that's to people that you were trying to pitch to, whether that's your internal team as well. In terms of collaboration, right, there's human collaboration and now there's digital collaboration, right? There's human collaboration in terms of the teams that we have built and talking again with investors. There's digital collaboration in terms of using AI, right?
Yes.
Using social media, using all the tools that have been presented in front of us. And I think the last one, which in my opinion is the most important, is critical thinking.
Yep.
Often we have dulled down critical thinking and common sense by using some of those digital tools. But what makes businesses super awesome is their ability to adjust, to change on the fly, and to make adjustments in any situation. So as a leader, as someone that's wanting to do her, it's very important that you not only communicate, collaborate, but also think critically about the problems that are at hand.
100%. What excites me about the conversation we've set with yourself, Reverend Theo, as well as Harrison, is that we understand there's programs and initiatives and partnerships that are driven. We understand that we have young innovators who also participate in building the skills, bringing their presence to the table, leading with empathy to ensure that these outcomes that might be based on passion can be driven in a profitable manner. But of course, the projects need to speak for themselves. And this is where you come in, Brennan. As a youth member at Allen Temple Baptist Church, and I can imagine, firstly, what's it like being in South Africa? Before we even touch on the projects, first time in South Africa, what's your experience been as a young person witnessing other young people in the country?
It's been awesome. It's been really, really fun. I've had such a blast here.
Yeah.
I've only been here for 2 days, and some things that I've noticed, firstly for me and for the rest of my group, we've actually felt really like welcome.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where we went.
It's a South African thing.
Yeah. No, it really is. Like, we feel so welcome, especially when we went to W.W. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
We felt really, really welcome.
Got you.
And then something else that I noticed was there is different social expectations and social norms.
Mm-hmm.
So back in America, we're not really like huggers. We don't really talk a lot. And so when we come to South Africa, one of the main reasons we feel so welcome and so like familiar to the space is because everybody is so welcoming, everybody is so friendly.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I've noticed, and that's something that I really like about South Africa.
I'm glad. I'm hoping you'll be coming back soon to experience more of it as the years go by. But as you mentioned, highlighted, you know, you're part of the Global Missions. You're building on many of the proposals and, of course, initiatives that have been undertaken by Global Missions. Help us understand, you know, as a youth member, some of your ideas together with your colleagues and counterparts as to, you know, how to strengthen the allegiance, the partnership, and cultural exchange between the youth in Oakland as well as youth in South Africa.
Well, I think the main thing for us was seeing the equivalence and the adjacence to what we grow up feeling and what we grow up seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So personally, I grew up seeing wealth gaps.
Yes.
I grew up seeing redlining, and I grew up seeing poverty as well as extreme wealth. And so yep. Because I grew up in both worlds, living in the hills, going to the private schools, and then going to church, where I go to church, an international bullish, which we would call the hood.
Got you.
It's something that I feel very passionate about for helping. is something that I feel responsible for. Like, something that, even though I'm a youth, mm-hmm. I feel like it's my responsibility to help, because the youth are the future.
Yep.
And so for my group, we all kind of feel that way. And so seeing the adjacents and seeing the equivalents in South Africa,
yeah.
One very basic example is where our hotel is mm-hmm. to where we literally went to church yesterday.
Stark difference, right? Get you. And that's a reality that many South Africans can relate to, because that's our everyday life. Much like you said, as an American youth, you can relate to it as well, in terms of that not only employment inequality, but the wealth gap as well that does stand out. But what I find so intriguing is that, you know, through your efforts and the passion and the purpose and providing sustainable change to your partnerships with youth in South Africa, there are a few proposals and partnerships that you're looking to expand mm-hmm. on. Maybe tell us more about the project, how it will likely work. And perhaps, Reverend Theo, if you can just underscore this as the important aspect of the intersection of not just business making a change, but socioeconomic change being driven by nonprofit organizations, faith-based organizations with an economic and commercial mind, but making sure that they all, you know, sync together for the common good. Let's start with the project, Brennan.
So our project circles around and focuses on poverty mm-hmm. and feeding homeless, making sure they have hygiene, and making sure that they're comfortable where they're at. One thing that we will try to do is just give out care packages mm-hmm. to people who are receptive to it. We're not going to try to force anybody to take anything. Mm-hmm. It's not like we want to intrude on their space, intrude on their peace. Mm-hmm. But we do want to help.
Got you. And this is both in California and in South Africa.
Preferably.
Got you. We'll got you. And that's the point, right? Mm-hmm. To make sure it's a global partnership and global effort. Global.
Yes. And so that's like the main part of our piece.
Yeah.
Is just to make sure that everybody feels, you know, seen. Because that's a big thing with at least the homeless population in Oakland.
Yeah.
That they don't feel seen. They don't feel heard. And most of the time it's not their fault that they have those sort of circumstances.
Yeah.
It's usually society
yeah.
that's built against them.
100%. Reverend Theo, socioeconomics is not just a business problem, but everybody's got a solution to put forward.
Yeah, it is not just a business problem. And one of the things that we attempt to do as a ministry...
Oh, if you could come closer to the mic. There we go.
...do as a ministry is to provide our young people with skills to attack the problem on a very local and very small level. But we issue the applications, the request for proposals, so that they will learn how to develop proposals that they can submit and then receive funds to actually do the programs that they want to do to help other people. Mm-hmm. And we try to encourage them to talk about the projects cross-culturally, so mm-hmm. they begin to understand that the problems are in a different location, but they're the same problems. Mm-hmm. They're economic problems, they're social problems, they're political problems that we need to attack on a global level. And so we hope to provide them with a skill set so that they can actually learn how to develop programs that will help do community service.
100%. I am so keen to ask both Harrison and Brennan a question that I asked you many years ago, Reverend Theo, and you kept coming back, you kept coming back, you kept coming back. So my question was, will you be back? And what will keep you coming back? Harrison?
Of course. Of course we'll be back. And I think what keeps me back is love and family. I feel like there is a certain family that we've built here that Reverend Theo has really kind of trailblazed, and that I feel very fortunate to kind of be able to reap the fruit of those labors and the connections that we built here, not only in terms of being able to help out, but real genuine connections. Mm-hmm. And then the love that exists between the two groups, our W.W. Brown group and the other groups that we have worked here and worked with in South Africa, as well as the love of this group that is the Global Ministries team, right?
Yeah.
And being able to put on these trips and being able to really reflect and step away from our American life and the bubble that exists there and come into a space that is home in a lot of different ways, mm-hmm. right? And South Africa has always felt like home, even from the first time that I came on this trip in 2014 to many years later. So yeah. I am very, very fortunate. And because of the blessings, I must come back. It has to happen.
100%. Brennan, will you be back? But there's also a whole whole team of people that you came with. They're outside the studio at the moment. And let's not underscore that, that it takes partnership, it takes active youth engagement, and it takes family, really, to bring everybody on board. Go ahead, have a cough. It's okay. This happens in radio. We'll switch off your mic. But I think it is important to acknowledge the many elders, leaders, and peers that you've come with as well. So maybe even a quick shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to the whole group. They made this trip the trip that it is. The people that we have around, it's not just like Allen Temple, but it's family. Growing up with everyone, it's not just, oh, Reverend Theo Harrison.
Yeah.
It's like that's someone I consider almost like a grandfather, and this is someone I consider like a cousin.
100%.
So
I was still calling him an uncle, not a grandfather. But tell us everyone else that you
were. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll be grandpa.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. Miss Sherelle, I grew up with Miss Sherelle. I grew up with Miss Renee. My brother along. There's the twins, Junior and Alexis.
Yes.
And then we have a close friend of mine, Madison.
Yes.
Who also is a part of the church. And so.
And you can't forget my pops.
Oh, yes,
yes, exactly.
Oh. Yes, I'm so sorry. Oh, my gosh. And Mr. Hayward.
Yes.
That's
Mr. Hayward Harvey, right?
That's yes, uncle.
100%. With the beautiful frames, by the way, which I commented on earlier on. Thank you so much to each and every one of you for making time and for joining us. This has really been a full circle moment in terms of conversations that are critical. And I think in a world where we won't obsess about money, obsess about the economy, even about the geopolitics right now. Big meetings are happening in Canada. There's, you know, humanitarian crises happening out in the Middle East. Said when we lead with empathy, when we understand our purpose, then we fully understand that that's where socioeconomic justice can really be felt right across the spectrum. Whether you're working as a CEO, whether you're working as a pastor, or whether you're just a young youth activist trying to make an image in image spaces that you serve, we really can make a difference in the world. Renthio, before we wrap up, for anyone who might be listening, we never know who's listening, whose ears this might fall on. If they want further information, where do we find that? How do we get in touch?
I'm going to leave my email address. It's Theophus, Theophous, @gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Or they can just Google Allen Temple Baptist Church and search
in Oakland, California,
Yes. And search for Allen Temple Baptist Church Global Ministries. And we have a website with all the pertinent information there.
100%. Before I let you go, one of our lovely listeners, Gelezo, has sent through a WhatsApp message, and it reads as follows. It says, "Hi, Gugu and the listeners. It's my first time listening to your show this year. I must say I'm blown away, especially the first pastor who spoke. The engagement is so relevant and refreshing. Socioeconomic issues are very topical. It feels like the presence of God in studio. Keep up the good work." Fantastic. That's Gelezo. So,
thank you, Gugu.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. And this has really been an amazing conversation just for us to sidestep, right? As our Youth Day special, yes, understanding the role, function, and importance of youth within our economy. But how do we take it a step further by leading with empathy, as has been said by one of my guests tonight? But again, a big thank you to Reverend Theo Regans, Director of Global Ministries at Allen Temple Baptist Church, Mr. Harrison Harvey, who's a member and youth leader of Global Ministries at Allen Temple Baptist Church, and Ms. Brennan White, Allen Temple Baptist Church youth member, joining us tonight. And of course, the fantastic crew that has also come out, who's joined us out here in the studio tonight to give us a different perspective on socioeconomic justice, socioeconomic reform, and of course, the importance role that institutions outside of business can continue to play. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.